CT Next was in many ways the brainchild of the Connecticut Technology Council and its president, Matthew Nemerson. He says Connecticut has plenty of innovation, but entrepreneurs felt isolated.
Oftentimes we would start great companies here at Yale or UConn or Wesleyan, and then they would leave. They would leave when they graduated. They would say, oh, we're moving to California, we're moving to Boston. And everybody recognized that that had to stop, and it wasn't going to stop through a program. It was going to stop through an environment.
The Molloy administration and the legislature committed $25 million over 5 years to grow that environment. Nemerson says the driving force can be summed up in one word: networks.
If I walk into a professor's office in stores, she will know that there is a financial person in Stanford and a research person in New Haven who should be part of this conversation, because that's exactly how it works in other places.
Mark Lassoff is a longtime entrepreneur who was born in Connecticut and now runs a highly successful 9-person software company, Learn to Program, in Vernon. But he got his start in the world of startups in Austin, Texas, a town with a formidable entrepreneurial vibe.
It's a feeling of belonging to a community of entrepreneurs who are, you know, trying to knock over the proverbial windmills. And they're doing it together. They're not looking at it as, you know, competing with each other for scarce resources. They're really looking at working together and collaborating.
Like many entrepreneurs in the state, Lassoff got involved with CT Next when it started up. He's acted as a mentor, and his company has also received grant funding for an innovation project. But he says it's been a very different experience than Austin.
It's been a very top-down experience where the programs have been dictated by pseudo-state agencies and partners who have been selected, versus a real coming together of the entrepreneurs and who have said, you know, this is what we want and need in this community.
In the first year, the 14 private entities who won funding to create CT Next were instructed to work together in hubs based in stores, Stamford, New Haven, and Hartford. DECD Commissioner Catherine Smith.
The prescriptive nature of it came from really studying some of the other parts of the U.S. where this has been done quite successfully and trying to emulate those. I think what we learned was sometimes that works really well, and probably sometimes it doesn't work as well.
Managing Director Tim Coates came on board from an entrepreneurial effort in Canada. He discovered working across agencies and organizations doesn't always come naturally in Connecticut.
So we spent a lot of time with those partners really trying to find a way to work together to understand what is the vision that we're working towards, what is the process that we're going to work with, and let's just go do that, and let's not get hung up on the fact that someone may have money taken away or there might be turf.
So I want to show you this backspace, dubbed the clubhouse.
Oh, wow, look at this. It's huge.
Yeah, it's...
This is The Grove, a co-working space for entrepreneurs that's the home of New Haven's hub of CT Next, which many say has been one of the most successful showcases for the ecosystem this year.
Even for Startup Weekend and big and hackathons and things that we've been...
Derek Koch runs Independent Software, a company based at The Grove, and he's also in charge of the CT Next effort in New Haven and Middlesex counties. He says entrepreneurs' experiences of working at The Grove are exactly what he would hope to replicate across the ecosystem.
As soon as you come into the community and you begin to work, dozens of people begin to get a sense of who you are and what you aspire to. And so it's not kind of one economic development person or one consultant or one venture capitalist looking at you trying to understand what it is you're doing and how I can help you, but it's a whole community of people.
Koch agrees there has been friction this year, but he says the criticisms of the ecosystem by successful entrepreneurs are part of the point.
Getting the whole community engaged in that process of giving that feedback, I think, is very, very important and also very frustrating because it kicks up a lot of dust, but that's good.
Good, and at the beginning of such a huge effort, perhaps inevitable.
To me, that's kind of the big... realization or aha out of the first year. We spent most of our time learning and responding and pivoting and really also trying to listen to what entrepreneurs felt like they needed out of the ecosystem. And I think that was important to do in the first year. I don't know that we could skip that step.
That step has led to big changes for the second year of CT Next. Catherine Smith says the turning point came in June when DECD called entrepreneurs together for a brainstorming meeting.
And they clearly said, you know, get rid of the bureaucracy, try to make it so we can do what we need to do. That, in fact, is part of the reason that this new RFP is so open-ended, is really trying to reflect that thinking that those folks can come up with the best ideas.
The new Request for Proposals, RFP, for the second year of CT Next essentially says, there's no model, bring us your ideas. The hubs had to reapply for funding, and other projects of all sizes are invited to apply. The Connecticut Technology Council will step down from its administrative role, and CT Next will be run from within a state agency, Connecticut Innovations. The CEO of Connecticut Innovations, Claire Leonardi, says she hopes the new approach will be more inclusive than the old one.
I mean, there's a really wonderful nucleus that's happening in Danbury. There's a great new co-working space that's started up in Bridgeport. And what we wanted to do was really to encourage the whole community.
But is this new way of doing business an admission that things didn't work well the first year?
What we really needed to raise was the visibility of what we were doing. And so if it was really dispersed year one, you know, would we have raised that visibility? Maybe, maybe not.
There's been conflict in getting to this new approach. Leonardi had some substantive differences with DECD Chief Catherine Smith about how the project should go forward. And in July, Smith stepped down as chair of CI, a role that the legislature had previously specified should go to the DECD commissioner. Both officials play down the impact of that move.
It's a dynamic tension where you have, you know, ideas on the table. At the end of the day, we are absolutely aligned in where we want it to go. I think when you agree on the goals, you get to the place you're trying to go.
But in the end, what is the goal? CT Next engaged more than 500 companies this year, and more than 300 are being helped by the system's growth advisors. Companies have benefited from more than $300,000 in vouchers for professional services. But the creation of a real community is more difficult to measure. Even the question of metrics shows why it's difficult to involve taxpayer dollars in this kind of effort, which could last decades and involve examining wrong turns. Matthew Nemerson.
That is a challenging thing to do in a public environment, especially with an election coming around. You never want to admit that something didn't work in government. As an advocate, I love to look at things that aren't working and sort of say, why not? How do we do it better?
Entrepreneur Mark Lassoff says he hopes the new year will bring fresh hope.
I think everybody wants this to work, no matter what side of this they're on, no matter how they feel about what's happened in the past or what's happening now. Everyone wants this to work. The best way to get it to work is for us to keep talking to each other and keep trying things.
When the new RFP closed at the end of August, 85 different groups had applied for funding. DECD won't say how much money it will commit to CT Next this coming year or how many groups will be chosen. Harriet Jones, WNPR.